I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Happy Monday. It is a beautiful day. I'm so excited. It feels like spring is here, although it's very blustery outside. And today, we are joined by Hunter Phoenix. Before I introduce her, though, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX, possibly Axe Radio Canada in Nova Scotia, but I think they're taking a bit of a break from Synchronicity for the summer, so they'll probably be back in September. And you may also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And Hunter Phoenix is today's guest, one of the next generations of thought leaders. Hunter Phoenix is making her mark as an actress, writer, life, and business coach. She helps people expand their vision of what's possible and then create subtle shifts to allow big changes to take place. Expanding the lexicon for the next generation of happy, soulful, successful seekers, Hunter just launched her new book, Perfect Lives and Other Fairy Tales, What to Do When the Pursuit of Happiness is Making You Miserable. Welcome to the show, Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Marie.
Hi, yay, you sound much better today.
Yay!
Problem solved, sweet. Okay, so let's talk about your book. Now, what inspired you to make this book? I know in the very beginning you tell a story about how you met with a life coach and the first thing she said is that no one's going to save you.
Yeah, I remember that. And that was kind of shocking to me, which is funny because you know, when I was 17 years old, one of my aunts gave me a book called The Cinderella Complex. And it was specifically for women because we've been raised with this idea that Prince Charming is coming to save us, you know? And so I thought I'd had a grip on that. And, you know, at the point that I was working with this coach, you know, I had a fairly decent career. I had owned my own home. You know, I was financially okay. But still in the back of my mind somewhere, you know, I wasn't really happy, and I had this notion that somehow somebody was going to come and change this all. And one day she just turned to me and she said, you know, no one's coming to save you. And I was shocked, absolutely shocked. I thought, oh, my goodness, like, how could she know? How could she know that was my secret backup plan, you know? But looking around in my life at the time, I can see there's just things I was doing that I wasn't taking care of, and I was waiting for somebody else to do it. And I think that, you know, a lot of us are waiting for someone to come and save us on some level, in some little area, maybe not blanket across your life, but in some little area. And for you, or maybe for the listeners right now, can you just think of one area that you just wish somebody would clean up? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's something, right? You think, geez, I wish somebody would just wave a magic wand and take care of this for me. Maybe, but probably not. So that's what, that was part of what spawned me to write the book.
Cool. Well, thank you for writing the book because we need it. And so now what do you talk about? What do you mean when you say the pursuit of happiness is making you miserable? Because we're all told we can have these great lives and we can have it all. So we chase after it. Well, what's wrong mm-hmm. with that?
You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting a great life. And yes, we can absolutely have great lives, but perfect lives, probably not. You know, I've worked with a lot of different people, a lot of clients from different ends of the spectrum too, people who were really well set up financially and people who weren't so much. And I've never come across anyone who has a perfect life. And I think when we go chasing perfection, that's when we get into trouble. You know, when we're looking for the quote-unquote the Leave It to Beaver thing, doesn't really happen. Everybody has stuff happen in their lives. You know, people's cars break down, people get sick, people have family drama, and that's just the way it goes. But you can still have a really, really great life in spite of the problems.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And so you also say in your book, and I really like this, you encourage mm-hmm. people to take little bite-sized pieces, because so often, yeah. whether we're on a self-improvement journey or a working, you know, I'm going to get in shape. So you go and you burn yourself out in 2 days and then never go to the gym for another 6 months.
Yeah. And I think we've all done that in some area or another. I mean, maybe you can think of something in your own life, and again, maybe listeners can, where you've done this, and it's just not sustainable. And believe me, I would love to have quantum leaps and everything. Like, I just want to think about something and have it done, you know? Mm-hmm. But when we try to take on too much, there's part of our brain that is just going to kick back and say, whoa, I don't like this so much. I'm not doing this. And I call it the terrible twos phase, and I find it's funny when I'm working with clients, we get to that point. It's usually about 3 weeks into coaching initially, and then it happens again in about 3 months, that people hit that terrible two phase. You know, they're trying to do so much at once, and it's just, like I said, it's not sustainable. You know, the example you gave was going to the gym, you know, where people will go really hard to the gym, like, say, for, I don't know, 5 days straight, and then you're physically exhausted, and your body's going, I'm not doing that anymore, you know?
Totally. Well, so what, I mean, for me, I mean, you can take little bite-sized pieces of each thing, but do you recommend people focus on one thing or do a bunch of things? Because some people have multiple areas of their life that are really dragging them down.
That is a great question. Initially, I would say pick one thing. Just pick one thing, just for this week. Just for right now, just for fun. Because, again, when you try and do too much at once, and I'm actually terrible for this. This is something I've got to constantly work on, is I think, oh, okay, I'm going to, you know, hit the gym more this week, and I'm going to, you know, do this with my finances every single day, and I'm going to do this. And I give myself, you know, five things, and that lasts for about 3 days. It's, like I said, it's just not sustainable. For one, it's hard to just build that into your schedule, you know? So I'd say pick the thing that is really, you know, a great way to do this is if you take three things that are dragging your life down right now, take the top three things, write them down. Then start prioritizing. Think, if you could just change one this week, which would it be? And get consistent on that for a few days, you know, for more than a few days. Get consistent on that for a good solid week, if not longer. Then take on the next thing.
Okay, cool. I'm making notes of that.
Yeah. You're taking notes, you're making the three things, yeah.
Well, but what I mean, I find for myself, like, I'll do mm-hmm. one little thing, and I'll sort of build it into my schedule, and then I kind of mm-hmm. get that down pat.
Yeah.
And then you add another thing, and you add another thing, and you add another thing. But then, you know, 6 months down the road, you've got, like, too many things.
Then you probably added things too quickly. Like, a really good example that I like to use is brushing your teeth. Like, I think pretty much everyone does that, you know, a few times a day anyway.
I hope so, yeah.
It's not a big deal. We've got it. We're down pat with that. We know when to do it. Don't even think about it. So then you add on the next thing. And you do this, like, as a kid. You know, your parents get you first, you know, brushing your teeth, then brushing your hair, and then the list goes on. And you add all of these things. But having said that, we do reach saturation point. There's only 24 hours in the day, you know? And that's the good news and the bad news, because time is a great equalizer. Everybody gets the same 24 hours. You know, whether you're Richard Branson or the homeless guy, we all get the same 24 hours. It's what you do with it. Yeah, go ahead, what we can say.
Oh, I was actually just thinking of that movie with Justin Timberlake where you had to buy time.
Yeah, that was a great movie. That was a little bit kind of startling to contemplate, you know?
Yeah. But we, in this reality, do all have the same amount of time.
Yeah, so it's really about saying, okay, so what is important to me? You know, what am I going to do with that time? And if you're not getting everything done, then it's probably time to start slashing things. And it doesn't mean forever, just for now. You know, what's most important to you right now?
All right. Well, and you also have 52 simple steps to creating a life you love. So mm-hmm. let's talk about the 52 steps. And are you wanting to do one step every week? Because that's how many weeks are in a year.
Yeah. And that's actually the reason I set the book up that way. It took a little bit of doing, actually, because I'm thinking, you know, because at first I had like 40 steps, and I thought, no, we can do a little bit better on this. Let's make this 52. So it can be used as a year-long coaching program. But the other thing is, you know, 52 steps, it is a lot to do. You know, you've got to be kind of diligent to get through that. You can pick the book up at any place. It's designed so you can, you know, if you need to go straight to step number 30, which it happens to be crystal clear communications. If you need help with communications, go straight to that. And some things just may not be applicable. You know, there's a whole section on finances. Maybe you're just rocking the money. Maybe you don't need help with that. Fine, go on to something else.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, it is time to take a break. I want to talk with you more about your book in just a moment. We are speaking with Hunter Phoenix, and she has just launched her book, Perfect Lives and Other Fairy Tales, What to Do When the Pursuit of Happiness is Making You Miserable. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity very soon.
ABC Short Filmmakers, this 4th annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is now accepting entries until August 1st, so get those cameras rolling. The student recent grads and professional filmmakers can submit films and videos, and remember, the shorter the better. Last year, 29 short films were screened, and over $15,000 in prize we were awarded to busy filmmakers. For entering rules and submit online, please visit the Vancouver Short Film Festival at vsff.com.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Hello and welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Hunter Phoenix. She is the author of the brand new book, Perfect Lives and Other Fairy Tales, What to Do When the Pursuit of Happiness is Making You Miserable. And I want to give a shout out to Jeremy, who's listening in Victoria right now, as well as Brooklyn, who really could be anywhere in the world right now. Hello. I hope you are both enjoying the show. And feel free to give us a call, whether you're Jeremy or Brooklyn, or just listening, 604-822-2487, if you have a question for Hunter Phoenix. Welcome back to the show, Hunter.
Thank you.
Hi. So let's talk about, you were talking about changing three things and then doing, like, picking three things and then starting one at a time. So how would someone want to go about picking three things? Like, let's say there's 30 things and they want to prioritize. Are there some things that you want to consider to decide what's the most important thing to start with?
Yeah, and there's usually going to be one or two things that jump out at people. Like, just think in your own life right now, you know, is there just a couple of things? Like, if you could change anything, does something immediately come to mind? You don't have to tell me what it is, but does something come to mind?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. So usually that's the thing to start with, all right? There's going to be a laundry list. You just can't do it all at once. I call it the hunter's stand and sit rule. And I always say you can stand, you can sit, but you can't do them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like standing, I really like sitting, but you just can't do them both at the same time.
Okay.
So you pick something. And generally it's going to be that first thing that comes to your mind. If there are other things you want to hold, you know, if there's a whole bunch of stuff and you think, oh, I just have to change everything, you can break it down into life areas. I think I actually have a free download. It's on the website. It's called Life Areas Evaluation. And it breaks your life down into 8 key areas. So finances, personal relationships, physical health and fitness, fun, goes on. You can pick which one of those areas you want to improve the most.
Is that?
You start on that. Mm-hmm.
Is that at hunterphoenixcoaching.com?
Yep. Yeah, okay. There's actually, I have a section on the website called Cool Free Stuff. So I'm pretty sure I put that in there.
Awesome. Everyone likes free stuff. Yeah. Good, good, good.
Yeah, we all like free stuff.
Yay. Okay, well, one of the things that I really like is planning your day the night before.
Okay, yeah. That's a biggie. This is, you know, if I could give people, I don't know, just, you know, a few tips, like this would be in the top three. This is something that radically, radically changed my life. You know, one of the things I struggled with was just not getting anything done during the day. And at the point where I decided, okay, you know, I want to write a book, you have to get really judicious with your time. And the thing about planning your day the night before is, A, you're more calm, you know, rather than first thing in the morning. We all have all this energy first thing in the morning. We're ready to go, 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 normally take on the day. That's not the best time for planning. That's the best time for action, for getting stuff done. So the other thing is, when you plan your day the night before, and I'd actually say, you know, allocate time for everything. You know, write down, you know, I do it in half-hour segments, but even if you have 5 things to do, you know, prioritize them. What is the most important thing you want to get done, and how long is it going to take you? Is it going to take you 30 minutes? Is it going to take you 2 hours? And I find when most people start doing this exercise, you'll realize, and even if you're planning, you know, if you allocate time for eat, you know, don't forget eating, sleeping, you know, going to the gym, whatever, that most people are planning for more than 24 hours in a day. Which is very funny, you know? Most of us are planning like 27 or 30-hour days. And then, of course, you don't get everything done, and then you feel like a failure. So you want to start planning stuff the night before. The other really beautiful thing about this is, A, you can sleep better. You don't have to lie awake thinking, oh, geez, I need to do this, I need to do that. And your subconscious will start working on this at night, and it's going to start arranging things for you. So this is super effective. The days that I don't plan my day the night before, my productivity drops about 70%.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really, really great tool.
And so would this be specifically for people who are self-employed or anyone who has like a 9-to-5 or whatever?
Anyone, but especially for self-employed people. Because it's so easy, you know, when you're working from home, just wander around the house.
Yeah.
You know, your workspace is way too close to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it is. She's, oh, well, I just need a snack, and then I'll do that task I don't want to do. You know, or you think all of a sudden, you know, and it's usually when there's something that we really should be doing, and then all of a sudden the bathroom desperately needs cleaning. Oh, I'll just clean that up, and then I'm going to, you know, send those emails.
So wow.
That even if you are working 9-to-5 still, you still want to plan your day the night before. These are still going to be priority items. Things like, for example, making phone calls. There might be a prime time in the day to reach people and then not to reach people. Like, don't call people during lunch hour, you know? So get that scheduled in. When is the best time to reach this person?
Mm-hmm. Good idea. So I'm curious, yeah. Did you read the 4-Hour Work Week? Is that where some of this stuff came? Or where did you get all these tips from?
Actually, most of this is, and I have the 4-Hour Work Week. I bought it, you know, partially because Tim Ferriss, you know, he won all sorts of marketing awards. He's just a great self-promoter. There's a lot of stuff in his book, and I just kind of scanned through it, but there's a lot of stuff I'm going to say that's not new to me, and there's a lot of stuff in my book that's just, it's not new information, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is just putting it all together in a handbook. A lot of this is, you know, basic, I'm going to put it in air quotes, you know, productivity tips. You know, and wellness tips.
Well, and Hunter, you had said that the planning the day the night before was one of your top three tips. So what are the other two?
Okay, just trying to think for a second. One would be with where the book starts, is being willing to change. That's a big one. You know, I find most of us want our lives to change, and we want our partners to change, and we want our finances to change, and we want our relationships to change, but we don't want to change, you know. I'd prefer not to change, actually. I wish the world would just change around me. But it does, yeah, exactly. But it doesn't really work that way. So one is just going, okay, yeah, I'm willing to do something different. You know, then start planning your day the night before. And I think probably the third thing, there's so many great things here, but a big one, big one, is email. I'd say probably it's one of the top three stressors for about 75% of the people I work with, is email overload.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got a section in the book on it. I call it Detox Your Inbox. And what prompted me to write that was, there was one day, there was a turning point for me, and I looked at my inbox. I had 97 emails. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll just blast through these emails today. And I did the math. And I thought, okay, so let's say 5 minutes per email. And I thought, some are going to take 2 minutes. Some are going to be 20 minutes, realistically, you know? And at 5 minutes per email, I realized it was going to take me something like 7.5 or 8.5 hours to get through those 97 emails. Mm. Now, this is ridiculous because new emails are going to come in. And 2 years from now, do I want to look back on my life and think, oh, I'm so happy I spent all of that time emailing? No, I'd rather go, you know, walk down to the beach. So that was a big wake-up call for me. That would be the third thing I'd say to people, get a grip on your emails.
I'm curious, Hunter, what you do about text messages, because what I'm noticing, I don't know if you actually saw my Facebook post the other day about how I get so many emails, and my phone was blowing up all day, phone calls, texts, and the thing is, like, I usually tell, especially guys with dating, like, they love to text, and if I'm dating five different guys, and they're all texting me all day long, it's like, take 2 minutes to pick up the phone and have a conversation with me, and then we're good for the day.
Yeah.
Because every time I hear my phone beep, and then I look, and it's like I had to stop what I was doing and look at my phone because you sent me a smiley face. And I mean, I appreciate the thought, but I would far prefer to actually, like, speak with you or see you rather than be pulled away every 5 minutes from my day. How do you deal with that?
Can I help you out on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love what you said. You said, I have to stop what I'm doing and look at my phone. No, you don't.
I have to turn my phone off then because I'm distracted. So, like, as soon as I hear it, it's pulling me.
It does. And one thing I say to people is, you know, immediate is not necessarily urgent. Immediate is not necessarily important. It's just happening now. You know, this is going back to prioritizing your life. You know, is it really, really important to you? I personally rarely have the ding on my phone. Definitely not with emails. And there have been studies done. I'm not sure where, but I know there have been studies done that show that when we hear that ding of an email or of a text message coming in, we actually get a little tiny hit of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And we've all turned into adrenaline junkies and go, ooh, maybe something exciting. Ooh, maybe something good. And like you said, maybe it's just a smiley face, or maybe it's your e-bill for your phone, you know?
Yes, I know.
Allocate time. Yeah. So decide at one point, like maybe you're having a coffee, you know, so sit down and have a coffee or a tea, you know, have a quick break, and then sit and go through all your text messages. And if you do that as well, then people don't expect an immediate response, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be immediate. It's just communication.
Communicate
the way you want to.
So I think I need to go into the settings on my cell phone and put...
Yeah.
Can you make the text message silent and then have the phone still ringing? I have to look. I have this new shiny phone. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I know most phones today do all sorts of wonderful things like that. So, and I'm sure there's a way to set that up, you know, depending on what kind of phone you have.
All right. Good tip.
And just, don't answer people right away. Because then you do get into this back and forth, and that's hugely distracting.
Exactly. Yeah. And then because one person, like, they don't realize I'm doing this with five different people, and then I feel so overwhelmed and so drained, and I'm like, it's not you, but I just can't, I mean, I can't give that much energy out. Like, it's just too much. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you can probably deal with all of those text messages in 5 or 10 minutes. And it's kind of fun, actually. Just take a break, you know, sit down, like I said, have something to drink, sit in the sunshine, whatever, and just go, okay, now I'm going to answer all these five people. Da-da-da-da-da. There we go.
Yes. I like your plan. That's much more effective than being pulled away every 5 minutes.
Yeah. You can't possibly concentrate and get anything done.
No. Exactly. Thank you, Hunter. You've solved
many
of my problems today. Right now, I'm sure my life will be much better for having had this conversation.
Post it on Facebook. I want to know.
I will. Ah, I have energy today. Hooray.
Yay.
Okay. Well, and you also said now one of your top three tips was the willingness to change. So let's talk about taking responsibility for your life and being willing to do what it takes. And so what does that look like for you, and how do you help your coaching clients to get that willingness to change? Because that can be the biggest battle.
Yeah, it can be. It's funny. Most people who come to coaching, they're at that point where they're ready to change. And I find if they're not, then they drop off pretty quick. They'll drop off within the first month, you know, because coaching is very practical and action-oriented. And, you know, you're going to have stuff to do. You're going to have homework. And usually, I find when people come to coaching, they're at that point of the last resort. They've tried everything else, nothing's worked, so it's like, okay, so I guess I'm going to have to change something. And, you know, I said this a few minutes ago, that normally we want everything around us to change. You know, I want him to change, I want her to change, I want that to change. But the minute you start changing, the way the world responds to you is going to change as well. And you also mentioned responsibility, and part of it is just saying, okay, yeah, you know what? I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for my life. And that's the good news and the bad news. And don't blame. Get out of blame. You know, it's nobody's fault. It's not the weather's fault or your parents' fault or your ex-boyfriend's fault. And not even really your fault. It just is. But to say, okay, you know, I'm responsible, and I can change things. And when you can start accepting full responsibility, and not blaming anyone for the bad stuff, then you get to really own all of the good stuff. You can say, wow, I created that. I did that. You know, high five to me.
So, Hunter, it sounds like what you're saying is not, it's not about blame, whether it's blaming yourself or others or whatever. It's just taking ownership. This is my reality. Yeah. It's not that I'm a total screw up, that my life's a mess, but my reality is where I'm at now, and I need to own that. And move forward from there.
Yeah, and you know, and one thing, and I like that you said the word need. If you try and kind of steer away from that a little bit, because you don't need to, but do you want to? Like, do you want to change things? And like you said, just owning it and saying, okay, so this is what it is. And maybe it's wonderful, and maybe some things are wonderful, but some things just, you know, plain suck. So you can decide, okay, well, I want to do something about that then, you know?
So what,
what it is.
But so what about people who don't, who want things to be different, but they're still not ready to take ownership? Is there anything for people who are kind of sitting on the fence and not ready? Do you have any tips for them?
You know, if you're not ready, then you're just not. But be prepared to sit in that place for a little bit longer then. You know, and generally, we don't change until we get uncomfortable enough. It's kind of like, probably most people listening to this right now are sitting down, and you're not going to shift your weight in your chair. Like, if your legs are crossed, you're not going to uncross your legs, you're not going to lean forward or lean back until you get a little bit uncomfortable. You know, and then it's funny, you don't stay as comfortable as long the next time we're sitting, and you'll shift a little bit quicker. So it's the same thing. It's when are you ready to shift? It's just like shifting your weight in a chair. And if you're not, then you're going to sit there with your, you know, your back hurting, your legs going numb, or whatever it is. You can kind of think of it in those terms. And if you're really not sure about the whole change thing, take a baby step or something.
All right. Well, it's time for a break, so we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. We are speaking right now with Hunter Phoenix. She is a life coach, an actress, a writer, and a business coach, and she's also the author of the new book, Perfect Lives and Other Fairy Tales, What to Do When the Pursuit of Happiness is Making You Miserable. And her website is hunterphoenixcoaching.com, and she has some free downloads and stuff that you can check out there. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined today by the lovely Hunter Phoenix. Welcome back to the show, Hunter.
Thanks, Marie.
Hi. So I wanted to talk about mastering money, because that seems to be a big topic, because when you have money, I mean, you often have more time if you have money, because you can hire people to do things that you don't want to do for yourself. You have more freedom. So managing your money and getting mastery over it can open up a lot of areas in your life. So that's why I want to focus on that. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you recommend people start with when they're looking at mastering money?
The first thing is just that, is to make a commitment to master it. You know, money is not a neutral topic for anyone. We all have energy around money. We have emotions around money. And chances are, if you're unhappy with the money situation in your life, you're probably in avoidance someplace. So the first thing I would say is definitely to make a commitment to master money, saying, okay, I'm really going to get a grip on this. I'm going to get a handle on this. I'm going to be good about this. And then the next thing is to look and see where you're avoiding. Now, what are you avoiding? Are you avoiding looking at your bank account? Are you avoiding looking at your credit card statements? Are you avoiding paying bills? Or maybe maybe you have money. Some people, you know, have a lot of money in savings, but they're avoiding investing. Anything we're doing in excess is avoidance. You know, spending, overspending is avoidance. It's just, I'm not going to deal with money. I'm just going to, you know, I can feel that money's moving, so I'm just going to spend. So that would be the very, well, the two big things. Decide to master it, and then look and see what you're avoiding. And then start to get that cleaned up.
I'm curious when you said avoiding, I know, like, I'm avoiding doing my taxes. And it's not even about, like, the money. I'm not worried about it. It's just, I find paperwork really overwhelming.
Okay. So let me ask you something. So would you want to be masterful with money?
Yes.
Okay. So do you think, and can you think of anyone, you know, whether you know the person, it could be a celebrity, and you don't have to tell me who it is, but can you think of someone who you think is masterful with money?
Sure.
Okay. Like, I'm going to just pick somebody. Okay. An example I used earlier was Richard Branson. Like, I think he's pretty masterful with money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the person that you're thinking of avoids doing your taxes?
No, he probably pays someone else to do it for him.
Right, but it's not just paying somebody else. Like, I'm pretty sure he could... an eye on things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if we pick somebody else, maybe not a billionaire, maybe somebody else that you know,
okay,
you think is more masterful with money or has a better grip on money than you do. And again, it's not really important if I know who it is, but for you to know,
mm-hmm.
And just to ask yourself, do you think this person would avoid doing their taxes? And a lot of us avoid doing our taxes. And I'll go into, you know, some baby steps in that in just a second. But the first question is, you know, is somebody who's masterful with money, do they avoid doing their taxes? The question is probably not,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, and if it's really massively overwhelming, then anything that's overwhelming, you probably need some other structures in place. You know, have you kept your receipts in order all year long? Or are they in a shoebox or stuffed in an envelope? You know, what part of this is overwhelming? Like, I'm picking that one because it seems to be a common one. Do you want to come up with...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fairly in order. I think, I mean, once I sit down and do my taxes, I know it's never as horrible. I mean, it usually doesn't take me very long at all, especially because I go on mm-hmm. the online thing. I just plug out all the information. And it's just, I mean, I keep everything in one place. But mm-hmm. it's like that anticipation and that procrastination creates more uneasiness. And even just filling out like an application for things, whether it doesn't even have to do with money or not, I just get overwhelmed mm-hmm. with paperwork.
Okay. So when you think about doing it, which part of it is overwhelming?
Even thinking about doing it is overwhelming.
Okay.
I think because I'm so mm-hmm. over, I'm so information overloaded by all the texts and the emails mm-hmm. and everything. It's just like mm-hmm. I can barely handle what's coming in, let alone taking okay. the time to deal with more all okay. that, you know.
Okay, and that's a really good point because, you know, so many of us are in information overload. You know, we're getting bazillions of emails and text messages and Facebook messages all day long. And we just can't process it all. So, you know, one, I'm going to say, you know, cut back on that stuff. You've only got so much brain power. Like, there's only so much RAM there to process everything.
Yeah.
You know, to decide what's important to you. To start being as careful with what you feed your brain as what you feed your body. You know, are you careful about what you put into your body? So be that careful about what you put into your brain, too. You know, because that's going to shape your life. So that's one thing. The next thing is with the taxes, with anything you feel kind of overwhelming, you want to break it down a bit. And instead of doing your taxes all at once, maybe you schedule some time and say, okay, so this Sunday night, I'm going to prep everything. I don't have to do the taxes. But I'm just going to get everything together. I'm going to get the receipts together. I'm going to get all the paperwork together, and I'm going to, you know, put them in a folder, and then I will take the next step, you know, 2 days later or something. To break it down. And do you think that would help you?
I do, yeah. And I was, as we were talking about this, I was thinking, well, you know, I could schedule it when I'm planning my day the night before. I could say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to put, because honestly, I mean, it would probably only take me 5 or 10 minutes to organize the paperwork.
Okay.
And receipts and all of that.
That's pretty darn good.
I know, but just the idea of taking that 5 minutes overwhelms me. So, yeah.
Okay, so one thing you can tell yourself is, you know, it's, and give yourself, instead of 5 minutes, allow yourself 20 or half an hour. Because I find very few things take 5 minutes. And we think things take 5 minutes and we're running late and we don't get stuff done. So give yourself some extra time. And maybe give yourself a little reward afterwards.
Hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, you say, okay, so this is the time I'm going to give myself a half hour. If I get it done earlier, woohoo, I have bonus time. If you get it done in 10 minutes, you have 20 minutes free time.
Yay.
Yeah, and then you can sit down and, you know, have a tea and check your text messages or, you know, put your feet up and close your eyes, goof off, do whatever you want. But to start making, you know, I make deals with myself. I say, okay, if I do this, then I get that, you know, or I'm not going to do this until I do that. And part of it is just keeping your word to yourself. You know, if we go back to mastering money, if I say, I want to master money, well, does it, somebody who's masterful with money avoid their taxes? And, you know, and then I whine at myself. I say, no, Hunter, they don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then just say, okay, I'm going to stand up here and just keep my word.
Cool. I like that, it.
Good.
That's very helpful. And I imagine, well, because when is April 1st is the tax day, right?
In Canada, I think it's April 30th. In the U.S., April 15th.
Oh, see, I don't even know what day the taxes are due. Like, yeah. That's how, whatever. They get done.
Actually,
they get done when
really
the government sends me a warning.
Something about this. So mark this in your calendar for next year. So that, you know, if you're in Canada, like I said, it's April 30th. The taxes have to be filed. So put this in your calendar for April 1st next year. If not earlier, you know, start doing taxes. And if you're in the U.S., you need a little bit more time.
Okay.
Again, because your brain starts to get used to the idea instead of waiting for that last-minute scheduling, and then we get into freak-out mode.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I usually wait till I get a letter saying, please file your taxes.
Okay, and, you know, and who likes to get those letters, right?
No, but...
Yeah, I know, she says. So give yourself a little treat, you know, just even do part of it, even just put the paperwork together and then give yourself a treat afterwards. If you have to bribe yourself a bit, hey, it's not the end of the world, you know? Try not to bribe yourself with food because we get into weird stuff then, but
yeah.
Give yourself something. And another thing is maybe if you like a certain TV show or something that you indulge in.
Cool.
Maybe that can be it. Okay, I'm not going to watch my, you know, you've PVR'd your favorite show. Okay, I'm not going to watch that until I at least do this.
Nice. Okay, I like that.
Mm.
Very good. Any more tips on mastering money?
More tips on mastering money. Credit. Credit's another big one.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's an expression that's not just me that says this, but it's kind of been around for a while, saying how you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I find we tend to borrow a lot in our lives. You know, we borrow time for one. You know, we, for example, spending too much time. We'll go back to the TV thing. Maybe spending too much time on a TV thing, or you know, watching TV and not getting some work done, and then all of a sudden you're in a crunch. And you've got to pay up fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a section in the book on this called Escaping the Credit Epidemic. And it's to look and see where else have you been borrowing in your life. Sleep, that's a big one.
Oh, my gosh.
You think, oh, I'll catch up on my sleep on the weekend.
Yeah.
Stop borrowing. You know, and also give yourself the gift of a good night's sleep. Like, how good does that feel? How rotten does it need when, or how rotten does it feel when you need to catch up? Another area where we tend to borrow, relationships. We think, oh, this is good for now.
Mm.
You know, being with somebody and you know you want long term, you want to be married, and you're with somebody and you know you were never going to marry this person. So why are you doing it? Clean that up.
So can we talk more about that? Because that's an interesting concept. Because what's wrong with spending time with someone who you enjoy being with, even though it's not going to be forever?
Nothing at all, if you're totally okay with that. But there, if you do want to get married, and, you know, for not just women, but for men, too, there's that window where people want to get married and have families. No, or maybe you're just at a point where you think, oh, I'm tired of serial dating. I would like to be in a committed relationship. It's maybe it'll happen by magic, mm-hmm. but maybe not if you're spending time with somebody who you know is not going to be great long term. It's the, this is okay for right now. It's the Band-Aid effect.
So it's sort of like the same concept as watching TV when you should be doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Or spending money, you know, that you don't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay this back later. I'll deal with this later.
So I'll distract myself with this person and deal with what I really want later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's okay sometimes in the short term, but just, you know, one thing I find is useful is ask yourself, you know, is this going to bring me, you know, short-term gratification or long-term fulfillment?
Mm-hmm.
See that with food, too. People will do that.
Pardon?
You know, they'll binge. We see that with food. Most people do the binge on something. And if you're okay, you know, if you're in good shape, great. You know, if it's important to you, that is, you know. But, you know, not to binge on something if you're really going to feel lousy about it later and you've got to work it off later.
So you're all, it sounds like you're almost borrowing from your health.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like smoking. Yeah. It's people have that joke, well, every cigarette takes 5 minutes off your life, but they joke, well, that's at the end of my life. So you're actually borrowing from the end of your life.
Yeah, you are. And we borrow from our health in a lot of different ways. When we, and I'm going to say indulge in stress, and I can say more on that in a minute, but we indulge in things that are stressful, you know, or allow them to continue, and we don't get enough sleep, that's borrowing from our health. And, you know, it's interesting, you brought up health, because one thing I'm saying about it is I always say your body gets the final say. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. Your body gets the final say. And when you've pushed it to the limit, when you've borrowed too much and it decides, I'm not doing this anymore, even, you know, stomach flu or something, your body gets the final say. Nothing's happening until that's sorted out.
Interesting. I love mm-hmm. how you're bringing this up, and it's connecting all of these things in my brain. I love it.
Good.
So if you're listening right now and you have a question for Hunter, we have just a few minutes left in the show. 604-822-2487. What part of your life are you wanting to start taking little steps towards healing and improving today? Give us a call, 604-822-2487. And there was something that you were going to talk about more, and then we got on mm-hmm. another train of thought.
Well, there's a few things. One thing, well, there's two, actually. So one is I just said, you know, indulging in stress. And I want to clarify that because people say, oh, I'm not indulging in stress. I'm stressed out. I have all this stuff going on. But stress or anything else, stress, joy, whatever it is, produces a chemical reaction in our brain. And scientists have found that whatever the chemical is, our brain can't differentiate. And when we get a lot of one chemical, our brain wants more of it. And we'll do just about anything to get more of it. And it's identical to being addicted to heroin. Our brain doesn't know the difference between stress chemicals, happy chemicals, and, you know, heroin chemicals. So when we're stressed out, we get stressed repeatedly, we have a tendency to create more stress in our life. But we wear that kind of as our, I say, a badge of honor, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I'm just so stressed. And people go, oh, that's terrible. But it's kind of a good thing almost in our society. But do you really want to live like that? You know, can you just stop it? Can you say, okay, I'm going to stop the things that are stressing me out. I'm going to start to manage these things. Instead of allowing yourself to indulge in that.
But I have to say, though, for the short term, managing it can create a little bit more stress.
Can you give me an example?
Well, just like having to, like, even the idea, like, okay, I'm going to plan to do my taxes and all of that, but the idea of doing the taxes creates more stress. So in the short term, like, okay, I have to do it, and I know it's going to create a lot less stress because I'm not going to have this hanging over me, something that I know needs to get done and I'm avoiding. So long term, it'll be better for me. But in the short term, I do have to, like, just suck it up and do it.
Okay, maybe ask yourself, so what is not, how can I take a bite out of this that's not going to be stressful? Because I love what you said when you said it's hanging over your head, because it does. Just, stuff like that just nags at you every day, you know? Just turn the back of your brain whining. So what could you do? And it, maybe it's something different for you. You know, it could be different for all of us, but what can you do that's going to allow you to feel like you made a little bit of progress and you're not stressed? You know, some people can leave their taxes go for months late and they're fine with that. They don't care. One of those, great, go for it. So maybe, and you know, you think for yourself, and I think for a lot of people, you know, who are in tax crunch right now, just what's a small thing you could do that's not going to be stressful, but it's just going to leave you feeling like you did something.
Yeah, I think that the planning your day the night before is really the one of the biggest keys. Like you said, it's in the top three, because it's just, I know, because what I'll do is I'll be lying in bed at night and I'll be like, okay, I need to do this and this and this. And then you bound out of bed and you get on with your day and none of it usually gets done because I'm distracted all day long by everything that needs to get done.
Yeah, and it totally drains your energy. And the other thing then that we tend to do when we have a laundry list of things to do during the day is we do the easiest thing first. Mm-hmm. We're trying to knock things off the list, and the easiest thing may not be the most important thing. And when we do that, the important stuff doesn't get done. You know, if you schedule it in, then, like I said, you can just go to sleep. You can go, okay, so tomorrow I'll look at the schedule. You know, I know what's happening when. I've already decided. I've pre-decided when's going to be a good time to do this. That allows you to work with your body rhythms, too, when you have more energy. Like, I know there's a good time of day for me to write. There's a good time of day for me to do client sessions, make phone calls. Yeah,
you're a rock star, Hunter.
Thank you.
I think I need to follow you.
Thank you.
I need to follow you around for the day and see how you function in the world, because clearly I'm not doing a good job. Like, getting things done is such a concept. It's like, oh my god, you mean you can actually, like, accomplish something by the end of the day?
Yeah. Just pick two or three things. Not 15. And every once in a while, you all do that. So I think, oh, I can just motor through all these things. No, I can't. You know, because things come up. So just pick two or three things. Like, what's really important to you? And this part, I call it standing up for your life. You know, what's important to you? Start running your life. Start standing up for your life instead of just letting life run you. You're the boss of you. You know? You get to be the boss of you.
Love it. Well, we just have 5 minutes left in the show before Parts Unknown starts, so I'm wondering what you want to focus on for the last 5 minutes.
Okay, so there's one other thing I wanted to talk about when we were talking earlier about change for people who aren't ready to change, and I wanted to tie this in with something else. And if you're not ready for change, usually it's coming out of fear, you know, fear of the unknown. So one little mantra I have, the affirmations, there's some affirmations in the book. They're not fluffy, what I call fluffy, airy-fairy affirmations. They're really practical. So one is that change is safe. It's only change and I am safe. And if you're not ready for change yet, just keep saying that to yourself. It's kind of get that notion in your head, like, wow, yeah, this is okay. I can take a baby step. It's just change. I'm not going to die. And if you really feel like you're going to die, you can go back to doing things the old way. That's okay. No pressure. Take the pressure off yourself.
Any other mantras you recommend?
That's a big one. It's only change and I am safe. I'd say that's probably the biggest one. trying to think of one of my other daily mantras here. Nothing's coming to my mind at the moment. Sorry, I'm just blanking.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to put out your website because we just have a couple minutes left. And it's hunterphoenixcoaching.com. And so your book is available on Kindle?
It's available on Amazon. It's in paperback and on Kindle. We're going to have expanded distribution coming up very shortly. Amazon had an exclusive for the first little bit, but Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. And, of course, like I mentioned earlier, if anyone wants to go to the website under phoenixcoaching.com, there is a section called Cool Free Stuff. And there's lots of great downloads there and other goodies.
Awesome. Love it. And Is there anything else you want to add before we close the show?
I think that's it. You've been wonderful and gracious, Maria. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you, Hunter. And I appreciate you coming back because we had technical problems the last time and blah, blah, blah. Yep. So I'm so happy that it worked out well today and that you were able to come on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll see you soon on Facebook.
You got it.
Have a great day. Bye. All right. Well, that was Hunter Phoenix. She is the author of Perfect Lives and Other Fairy Tales, What to Do When the Pursuit of Happiness is Making You Miserable. And you can find her online at hunterphoenixcoaching.com. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. And coming up very, very shortly, in about a minute, is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific. He is right behind me, and I'm going to send you so much love. Be well. I love you so much. Say it.
Namaste!
Namaste. We love you.
In fact,